Pastors Larry and Tiz Huck welcome you to another Larry Huck Ministries podcast. We pray this teaching will fill you with God's wisdom, anointing, and revelation knowledge. Thank you for your prayers and faithful support.
My Father's house shall be called what? A house of prayer. You have not because you ask not. And I just want to say happy Thanksgiving to everybody in the building and happy Thanksgiving to all of our stream family around the world. And I know, huh? What did I say? Happy birthday, too. Happy Hanukkah. Happy New Year's. I've been traveling for 3 days. What am I saying? You know, we were on the airplane in Miami, and we're getting on the airplane. In front of me, talking to me, is Richard Roberts. Then there was me. Then there was Pastor Scott. Then there was Robert Jeffries. And then there was Jack Graham from great, great churches here in Dallas and a bunch of other pastors. And I told Scott, I said, there's no way this plane's going down because the pulpits would be empty in Dallas. And so we want to say to all of our stream family around the world, whether you're in London, whether you're in Europe, whether you're in Central South America, you're in Africa, Canada, Mexico, we love you guys. Your best is yet to come. Amen. I'm telling you, three years ago, I gave a prophecy, and I know this prophecy is from God, that we're moving into 7 years of fat. Not lean, 7 years of fat. Because one of the main prophecies on the coming of the Messiah is an end time transfer of wealth. There is no limit to wealth in the world. It just needs to be in the right hands. Lift up your hands. Say, Father, in my hands, you have given me the power to gain wealth. I am anointed by Almighty God and the blood of Jesus to prosper. I receive that anointing, and I will use that anointing to give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now give the Lord a shout and tell him you believe it. Amen. And happy Thanksgiving. I want to ask you to open your Bibles up to the book of Matthew, chapter 16. And I want to start a series this morning on the steps of a righteous man. Now listen to what the scripture says. Listen to this. The steps of a righteous man or woman will be guided, will be ordered by God. If God be for us, who can be against us? And so we're going to do a series, and I want to launch it today, being the Avos, the first Sunday of the month, of the year. And we're going to launch this today and then carry it on for the next several weeks. Although, you know, the neat thing about serving God, you know, I tell you this all the time, that I'm a very hard pastor to work for. Not because I'm mean or anything. In fact, I'm extremely wonderful and kind. I'm a nice guy. But because I change things all the time, you know, and it's very difficult. Musicians and our TV department upstairs and all that. Have you ever been up there and seen all that? It's like, wow, these guys got to be brilliant to run it. And so they try to get graphics in and everything, but I'm always changing stuff because I have to go by what the Spirit of God is doing, because the steps of righteous people are ordered by the Lord. And so I knew that this Sunday, being the Avos, the birthing of all the rest of what God wants to do for the rest of the year, I needed to do this. But I received a phone call from a friend of mine who runs the city of David in Jerusalem. And Zev is a good friend. He's been praying for... Oh, and I meant to say this in prayer. Mama's back in the house. Stand up, Mama. Stand up to her. Mama's back in the house. Been a long journey. This is going to be a good year. Zev called me, and Zev is a good friend. Zev runs the City of David and all that discovery that, you know, we were taken in the City of David. The nation of Israel asked me years and years and years ago to come to Jerusalem to do some, I guess you'd call them commercials for, do you hear that? Something is... Oh, okay. All right. It's not, nothing's going to blow up or anything because of the arts. Every man for himself. We were asked to come to Jerusalem, and where the Temple Mount steps are, you go down the Temple Mount steps, and there's a road that all the tour buses park on. Across the road are these old homes that go down the hill. And somebody was digging something. This was 20-something years ago. They were digging something and found the foundation of what looked like a significant home. And they dug down and found David's palace. Now, for a lot of years, people said, you know, that the whole thing of the Jews owning Jerusalem and the Temple Mount and the City of David, it's all fake news. It's not real. But they dug and found it. And so they asked me they started excavating, and they asked me to come in and do some kind of commercials for it. And they found the seal from one of the kings. And while I'm doing that, all of a sudden God spoke to me and reminded me of the words of Jesus. He said, if you won't praise me, I'll cause the stones to cry out and praise me. And so they started excavating this, and they just kept uncovering and uncovering and uncovering. It's been years and years. Well, recently they uncovered what's called the Pilgrimage Road. And so Zev is over this, and he called me and said, Pastor, I'm going to be in Dallas. I'd like to... get lunch with you and get some fellowship and pray for Tiz and see how Tiz is doing. And so I said, well, if you're here, why don't you come? And so next Sunday at the 9:30 service, he's going to come. He's going to bring all these slides and whatever they are on the big screen. If you don't know what the Pilgrimage Road is, it is maybe the most significant discovery in Israel for 100 years. And what it is from the Pool of Siloam, they have, what happened was, this isn't even my message. What happened was, is somebody broke a water pipe. They started to fix the water pipe and came on. They said, this looks like a road. So they started excavating it several years ago, and they found from the Pool of Siloam all the way up to the Temple Mount, they found the Pilgrimage Road that everybody would bring their first fruits offering, their Passover offering, everybody. And Zev said to me, he said, Pastor, we know 100% that this is the road that Jesus walked on, that Jesus preached on. We know this 100%. And so it's an amazing, and I'm off my subject, but that's okay. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. And so one of the most important things about this is this road is huge, and it hasn't been walked on for 2,000 years. Now, those who say the Jews have no right, those who say the Jews are occupying Israel, that there's no proof that they existed there, here's a road that proves 100% that everything in the Bible, talking about the Temple Mount, the Messiah, everything is true. Everything is true. So last month, the nation of Israel asked me to come over. They brought all these different leaders of government from around the world, mostly from Europe, and they asked me to teach them the biblical proof that the land of Israel, according to the word of God, belongs to the Jewish people. Now, the thing that I discovered in this is that every one of these government leaders, especially through Europe, they're Christians, but they don't know the Bible. Because they go through liturgy instead of studying what the Word of God says. And what does the Bible say? The truth that you understand. That truth, when you understand it, then that truth will set you free. And so I realized, man, we have a job to do in teaching Europe and teaching the world what the Bible says. The end of that 3-day tour with these government leaders, we were taken in to meet with Prime Minister Netanyahu. And when we went in, they were allowed, after Prime Minister Netanyahu spoke, they were allowed to ask questions. And as they were asking questions, of course, they're political questions. And some of them were really great questions, to be honest with you. Some of them were not very friendly questions. And so the last question that this person asked from Europe, you could tell it upset the Prime Minister a little bit. And then the guy came back and it upset. You could tell it upset him a little bit more. And so Josh Reinstein, who was heading it up, said, well, we're going to ask one more question. And since Pastor Larry is the only pastor in the room, and while Prime Minister Netanyahu was talking, he looked at me and goes, you know, I mean, I don't mind teaching the Bible, but my greatest fear is when the Messiah comes, he will come and say, you know, I'd have been here 10 years earlier if it hadn't been for Pastor Larry said. So he's looking at me, goes, you ask a question. So Josh goes, we have one last question since Pastor Larry's only a pastor. Pastor, you ask a question. Of course, all the media's there and everything. And I said, Prime Minister Netanyahu, how important is it to you, the discovery to you, to Israel, to the world, the discovery of the Pilgrim's Road? And it was amazing. All of a sudden, he just, and he goes, the Pilgrim's Road. He said, my ancestors, Christians and Jews, walked together worshiping the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And he went off. He went off on, and it was just like he, this peace of God, and I'm not exaggerating, this peace of God just covered him and the whole room. It was like the breath of God came. You know how sometimes the wind sucked out of the room? The wind came back in the room. And Prime Minister Netanyahu started talking about it. He said, you know, my father's best friend was a man who wrote two books. He wrote Jesus of Nazareth, and he wrote From Jesus to Paul. And I used to have Jesus of Nazareth. I've lost it over the years. And I said, I know those books. And he said, we used to go, and he went back, and he said, when we were a little kid, we'd go to his house, and he'd give us chocolates, and he'd talk to us about these books. My brother and I, when we were little kids, and his brother had been killed by the Palestinians. And so he's reminiscing of this, his father's best friend, professor at the Hebrew University, writing a book on Jesus of Nazareth and From Jesus to Paul. And so I got home and I looked for those books, and I couldn't find them in my library. They may be in there, but I couldn't find them. So I had Nancy track one down, and she found From Jesus to Paul. And I opened it up. I just got it a few days ago, and I open it up, and he says, in order to understand the nation of Israel, in order to understand Christianity, and in order to understand Judaism, Christians need to reread the Bible through the eyes of a Jewish Moses and a Jewish Jesus, and Jews need to reread the teachings of Jesus through the eyes of a Jewish Jesus and a Jewish Paul, because we're both walking the same road. And guys, that's where God is taking us, down a road. You know, one of the great things in studying is that rabbinical scholars will teach us that there is the milk of the word. That's the surface. You read something and you go, oh yeah, here's the milk. This is the simplicity of the word. But you've got to understand the word of God is living. And so once you read what's on this level, that's not the end of it. That's why every letter in the Word of God, every word in the Word of God, every numerical value of every letter and every word has secret meanings to it that take us deeper and deeper from the milk to the meat. Now, when we do this series on the steps of a righteous man, now think about that. The steps of a righteous man, they are guided by God. God guides my steps as a husband. God will guide your steps as a father, as a mother, as a businessman, as a businesswoman, as a Christian, as a believer. The steps of a righteous person are guided by God. So what does the word righteous mean? And I was telling Luke in the back, my son, I said, we're going to get into the practical understanding of what righteous is. And we're going to get into some of the mystical of what the word righteous means. The letter that, let me just give you a taste. The letter that is the root of the word righteous in the Hebrew alphabet, I think it's the 18th letter, is the letter nun. Nun. But the nun in righteous has a little comma above it. That comma is called what? A yod. And whenever you see a yod, what does it mean? God is saying something. God is involved with this. That's why when Moses saw the burning bush, the Bible says Moses saw a bush burning. Vayar. He saw, vayar, he saw a bush burning. But then it says he turned to see the burning bush. Well, if he turned to see what he already saw, is God being redundant? No. Vayar, he saw a burning bush with physical eyes. But then he turned to see, and it has a yod there, he turned to see what God was saying. He turned to see. That's why Jesus said they have eyes to see, vayar, but they don't see via R with a yod. They don't see what God is doing. And unfortunately, that's a lot of the church today. Is we see, oh yeah, but it's the milk. But God wants to take us down from the milk into the meat. I believe. Now I'm always the glass is half full. I'm always the best is yet to come. Because I believe all things work together for the good of those who love God. How many believe that? Say amen. All things work together. It may look difficult. And I'll show you this. In that when we are a righteous man or a righteous woman. And by the way, we confuse being holy with being righteous. You can be holy and not be righteous. Don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, where you're going to live. That's what those who have no covenant. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his. See, a righteous person is changing the world. You can be a holy person. You can sit on a mountaintop, wear a robe, grow a beard, long hair, meditate on your navel and be, you don't cuss, smoke, or chew, or go out with those who do, and be a holy person. But a righteous person, that person is changing the world every place they go. We're going to get into the mystic. The word, the letter nun, the 18th letter, the word righteous means to. It has two meanings. It means hunt and it means goodness. So a righteous person is not just sitting there saying, well, I'm living for God. A righteous person is hunting for a place to do good. Isn't that amazing? So we're going to get in there. We're going to get into a whole lot of these things and get a little bit deeper. But here's where I want to go today, because today is the AVOS. Do y'all know what the AVOS is? Whenever you have a line of things or a list of things, whatever comes first determines the amount of blessing that follows. The word avos or avot means father. It's what brings the birthing of all the blessings that follow. The Ten Commandments. All the Ten Commandments, when we follow those Ten Commandments, it not only brings the blessing, but it breaks every curse so that we can walk in the blessing. But none of those Ten Commandments will work if we don't have the first commandment. That first commandment is God is God. End of story. Unless you have that, God is God. You are God. You're on the throne. None of the rest work. You look at putting on the armor of God, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith. But what's the first one? Having your loins girt about with truth. If you don't have the truth, let's say you're facing sickness. If you don't have the truth that will reproduce itself in you, then it doesn't work. If you don't have, when we pray for people, and I've had so many people over the years say, well, God's doing this to me to teach a lesson. If you don't have the truth is that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but God's come to give you life and life more abundant. If you don't have that truth, then nothing else works. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so this Sunday is the AVOS. It's the first Sunday of the year. This year is going to be great. You're going to spend your energy defeating the enemy instead of the enemy defeating you. You're going to spend your energy going in prosperity instead of moving backwards. You're going to spend your energy going forward instead of staying where you're at. How many are ready to go forward? So this is what God laid on my heart for the AVOS. All right. Read with me in Matthew chapter 16. We all know this, but we need to see this today, because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God. Are you ready? Okay, we have 25 minutes. Chapter 16, verses 13. When Jesus came in the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, you are the Son of the living God. Now, most of you know this, but for if you're new here or the tens of thousands that are watching by stream, I want to say this so you understand the significance. Jesus is a Jew. He asked a Jewish question. Peter is a Jew. Say amen. Amen. He gives a Jewish response. As Westerners, we hear, oh, he's the Christ, Jesus Christ. Christ is not Jesus' last name or simply a title. Christ is a biblical, prophetic description of what Jesus does. So he says, who do men say that I am? Well, some say this, some say that. Okay, doesn't matter what anybody else says. Who do you say I am? Who do you know I am? And they said, you're the Christ. This is a very, very Jewish Hebrew answer. Now follow with me. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. That word blessed there means literally anointed from heaven. When you understand who Jesus is, it releases on every area of your life an anointing from heaven. Not who Jesus was, not who Jesus will be, but who Jesus is, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We know he used to raise the dead. We know that someday we'll be in heaven where there'll be no sickness. But he is today the healer. He is today the one who brings gold coins out of fish's mouth. He is today the one who delivers the captive. He is today the one who opens prison gates. Whatever you're facing, we know what he did. We know what he'll do. But what you need to know is who he is today, because he is exactly the same. Say today.
Today.
No matter what you're facing, and you're going to understand this when we get into the weeks to come about the steps of a righteous person, the steps of a righteous person will lead us around problems. But sometimes the devil's fault, your mother-in-law's fault, whoever's fault. Sometimes you get in problems, the steps of a righteous man will lead them out of the problem. That's who he is. That's why we are more than conquerors. And we'll get into all the mysticism of that. Verse 17, Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Now, keep your finger there and turn with me to the sister scripture of this, or the brother scripture of this, Leviticus chapter 16. Jesus is walking with the disciples. He looks at them and he says, "Who do men say that I am?" Well, some say you're this, some say you're that. And see, there's going to be a lot of people who say, "Jesus doesn't do these miracles anymore." Or, "These were only for the apostles." Or, "Prosperity is not for the church today." Or, "The gifts of the Spirit are not for the church today." You can believe that if you want, but I'm going to believe the word of God, who says the latter rain is going to be greater than the former. Amen? So you're going to hear a lot of things. "Who do men say that I am?" Well, some say this, some say that. And Jesus said, "Okay, but here's the important question. Who do you say I am? Who do you say I am for you?" Their answer was, "You are the Christ." They didn't say you are the healer. They didn't say you're Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Sitkanu, Jehovah Makedesh, Jehovah Shalom, which he is all those things. But they said, "You are the Christ." Now, let me say again, this is a rabbi asking a Torah question. Do you understand? This is a Jew asking a Jewish question, and Peter gives a Jewish response. "You're the Christ." The word Christ in Hebrew means the anointed one. The anointed one in Hebrew means you are the burden removing and the yoke destroying. Now, the burden is the wages of sin is death. The yoke is every sin we've ever committed. There is a curse that's attached to it, and we pass those curses on from generation to generation. So when Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" and they gave a response, "You are the Christ," what did Jesus say? He didn't say, "That's a great biblical answer." He says, "Peter, on this," not on Peter, the church is not built on Peter, on this revelation, I will build my church, and hell will not win against you anymore. Listen to what I'm saying. On this revelation that I am the Christ, I am the one who will forgive. I don't care if you are a $1 million sinner or you're a $2 sinner. There is none righteous, no, not one, without Jesus. Remember, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. But once we have Jesus, he closes with the robe of righteousness. Well, Pastor, I never smoked dope. I never, sold drugs. I never did these kind of things. I was born and raised in church. God even saves religious people. Somebody say, you're the Christ. Now, what you've got to understand, and most of you do, but I'm taking you somewhere. A lot of you know what I'm teaching right here. What Jesus is talking about is that he is the atonement offering. We know about Rosh Hashanah. We know about Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is the Day of Atonement. What Jesus is talking about here is that I am, and you got to understand, Peter's being Jewish. Most Gentiles know very little about what Jewish Jesus is really saying. Because we're taught to read it as Westerners. Jesus didn't speak Greek. Jesus spoke Hebrew or Western Aramaic. And so what Jesus is talking about is something that brings a revelation that will defeat the enemy in every area of your life. Look with me in Leviticus chapter 16. This is the Day of Atonement. Yom Kippur, verse 5. And he shall take from the congregation of the children of Israel, how many kids? Look, now look at me. Who do you say that I am? You're the anointed one, the burden removing and the yoke destroying. So here we are, this scripture, let me just lay it out for those who don't know. Here we are on the Day of Atonement. It's the holiest day of the year in the Bible. And the high priest is waiting there. And they're bringing the sacrificial lamb, but they don't bring one lamb, they bring two. That's what Peter is saying. And when you get this, on this revelation, he will build his church and hell will not win. Now, hell may attack you, but Tiz will tell you, and lion will tell you, hell will not win. Somebody say amen. And when you see or hear of a miracle in somebody else's life, what does that mean? It means you're next. Okay? All right. So verse 5 again. I got to get through this in 15 minutes. And he shall take from the congregation, the children of Israel, how many kids? Two, burden removing, yoke destroying, of the goats as a sin offering, one ram as a burnt offering. Verse 7, and he shall take how many goats? Burden removing, yoke destroying, present them before the tabernacle of the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then Aaron shall cast lots for the two goats, burden removing, yoke destroying, one lot for the Lord and the other for the scapegoat. One lot for the Lord, the other for the scapegoat. For the sake of time, jump to verse 14. And he shall take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the mercy seat on the east side before the mercy seat. He shall sprinkle some of the blood with his finger seven times. Now, most of you know this, but this is the Avos of the year. If you were to ask, we had so many people when we were in Miami at President Trump's meeting, and so many people coming up and saying, pastors and people from congregations, Pastor, we follow your television ministry all the time. You know, we wear the tallit, we celebrate Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. But even more than that, they said, your teaching broke curses that were in my family for generation after generation. The curse of poverty, the curse of failure, the curse of sickness, the curse of divorce, the curse of going to jail, the curse of this, the curse of that. And it comes from this teaching. Jesus says to them, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter's response is, "You are the Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement offering." Picture this for the sake of time. The high priest is waiting. This is the holiest time. And by the way, once you get through Yom Kippur, this revelation, the next thing is the Feast of Tabernacles. It's party time. Somebody say amen. Amen. Come on, we know you like to party. Come on. So the high priest is waiting. They bring the sacrifice for the sins. But they don't bring one, they bring two. The high priest comes to the door of the tabernacle, the temple. He picks one for the Lord. Now remember, one for the Lord, one for a scapegoat. He takes the one, brings it in, lays it on the altar, and that lamb, that kid, sacrifices its life. And the moment that lamb dies, the sins of all of Israel are forgiven. Amen. They're forgiven. The blood of that lamb, the life of that lamb has sacrificed. But then the high priest dips his finger in the blood. He goes into the Holy of Holies where the anointing is, where the power of God is, where healing is, where gifts of the Spirit are, where prophecies are, where prosperity is, where every blessing of God is. He dips his finger and sprinkles it on the Ark of the Covenant. How many times? How many times did Jesus shed his blood? Seven times. I had a pastor come up to me and he said, "Pastor, tell me about the seven places Jesus shed his blood." He said, somebody just told me in my church, tell me about it. I said, "He shed his blood in the garden, brought back our willpower. Not my will, but thy will be done. At the whipping post, by his stripes we're healed. Crown of thorns, broke the curse of poverty. We're cursed by the sweat of Adam's brow, cursed the ground with thorns and thistles. They took the curse of poverty and failure and debt and took it, wove it into a crown, placed it on the brow of Jesus. We're cursed by the sweat of Adam's brow. We're redeemed from that curse by the blood on Jesus' brow. In his hands, everything you put your hands to, in his feet, every place you put the sole of your foot, I'll give it to you for an inheritance. In his side, what Satan's meant for evil, God will use it for good. He's come to heal the brokenhearted. Everything the devil stole from you, he's going to pay back, multiplied over and over and over again." Somebody say amen. And then he went to the gates of hell, stomped on the devil's forehead, bruised his heel, and we are redeemed from every curse and reconnected. Redeemed. Redeemed. Not deemed for the first time. We're redeemed. We're reconnected to every promise of God through the seven places Jesus shed his blood. But one thing hasn't happened yet. The sins are forgiven. The blood, the seven places Jesus shed his blood, is ready to go. But he comes back to the sacrificial lamb. He dips his hands in that blood and he goes back to the door. And he lays those blood-stained hands on the scapegoat. He places all the curses, the curse of failure, the curse of problems in our marriage, the curse of problems with our children, the curse that's blocking our financial breakthrough, the curse of sickness and disease and cancer. He places that curse on the scapegoat and goes and sends it out. And he sends it to the desert. This is why Jesus said, you've got to read it through the eyes of Rabbi Jesus. This is why he said, you cast a demon out, it goes to a desert place. How many times have we heard that? Nobody's explained to us what that means. You cast a demon out. I bind you, devil. You cast it out. It goes to a desert place, but it comes back and finds the door still open. How is the door still open? Because Jesus is not only our Yom Kippur sacrifice, he is our Passover sacrifice. And what did God say when he said, take the blood of the lamb from the garden, from the whipping post, from the crown of thorns, in your hands, in your feet, in your side, stamping on the devil's forehead, bruising your heel, and place it on the door of your family. And what did God say? It says, it doesn't read well in English. The word peshek is not translated well from Hebrew, Egyptian Hebrew into English. The word peshek says, well, I'll pass over you. But that's not what it says. God says, when I see that you have put the blood on your family, on your marriage, on your home, on your children, on your health, on your business, on your investments, when I see you put the blood, he said, I don't just make the angel of death pass over. I will personally stand in front of all that you are and make the devil pass over the blood-bought property of the children of God. Can I have an amen? Now, let me close with this. So who do men say that I am? You're the Christ. When they cast that curse out and it goes down, the curse always tries to come back. Think about an animal. Think about, I have horses, or think about your dogs, or think about a cat. If it's lost, it's trying to get back to where it has safety. It's trying to get back to where it's been fed. It's going back to where it's been watered. How many years has the curse of failure been fed? How many years have the curse of negativity been fed? How many years has the curse of divorce been fed? And so you cast it out. I bind it. But it comes back and sees the door still open because we don't understand the authority that we have. Now listen to what I'm saying. I'm closing with this. So Jesus said, I'm the Christ. They said, you're the Christ. Every one of us, our sins are forgiven. Every one of us, the seven places Jesus shed his blood is for us. We're more than conquerors. Every one of us, we can break that curse of willpower. We can break the curse of sickness. We can break the curse of poverty. We can break the curse of failure, authority and dominion, what Satan's meant for evil. What you've gone through, that's not nothing. Wait till you see where you're going. Wait till you see where you're going. When that thing tries to come back this year, it's going to see the door's closed. This life, this family is no longer available to me. The door has been sealed, not with a man-made lock, but it's been sealed by the blood of Jesus. And listen to what Jesus said. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, on this, I'll build my church. On this, I'll build health. On this, I'll build marriages. On this, I'll save your children. On this, I'll cause your business to flourish. On this, I'll cause you to have prosperity. And hell will not win anymore. But listen to what he says then. He says, I give you the keys to the kingdom. I give you. Who do you say that I am? You're the one who forgives our sin and breaks every curse. That's who you are. Not someday, but today. And Jesus says, now I give you the keys to the kingdom. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you loosen on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Oh, Jesus, 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 help me. I already did. Take authority. Jesus, come do this. I already did. When he hung on the cross, listen, I know it sounds like a light thing, but when Jesus hung on the cross, he said, it is finished. Somebody shout finished. So shout it better. Finished. Say it again. Finished. It's finished. Now, once you get this, whatever you bind on earth, and here's what God spoke me for the Avos. This is why I went, instead of just waiting for Yom Kippur to teach this. God spoke to me and said, this next year is going to be amazing. God's going to open the windows of heaven. He's going to pour out his blessing in every air. Every air. I'm giving you this prophetically. This is going to be an incredible year. In every area, signs, wonders, miracles, prosperity, gifts of the Spirit, word of wisdom, word of knowledge. Not nonsense, the real thing, a move of God. But God said, but before I can release the blessings from the Holy of Holies, we have to first break the curse. In studying the Bible rabbinically, you have to pay attention. You have to pay attention. And he says, whatever you loosen, I will loose. But he didn't say that first. He first said, whatever you bind. I want you to stand with me all over the building. Whatever you bind. Now, I want you to take a moment and think. Is there anything that's been attacking you, attacking your family, attacking your marriage, attacking your health, attacking your finances, holding back your God? I'm almost there. I know it's there. I've told you this story over and over again. Years ago, when we were in Portland, I had my horses up there, and I'm from inner city South St. Louis. I'm from the hood. I don't know nothing about plants. Well, I used to know things about certain. But that was a long time ago. We're going to get in the car and Tiz will go, you're never serious. I had a field, so I wanted grass for my horses. And so I plowed up all the weeds and everything and smoothed it out, planted seed and everything. And sure enough, the grass started coming up for horses. But then all of a sudden I saw the weeds coming back. And before long, the tares choked out the wheat. You understand what I'm saying? You know, we have our horses here in Texas too. And I told the guy, I said, man, I spread all this seed out. This guy that I buy my hay from, and he goes, you didn't kill the weeds. And I thought, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I thought, well, maybe in Texas it's different. It's the same. So today we're going to kill the tares. How many need to break Satan's attack on your home, your marriage, your children, your grandchildren? Raise your hand. Okay, whatever we bind is going to be bound. No, this is not, I'm not going through a ritual. We're going to bind him. We're going to kick his teeth in. Amen. The devil attacking your home, your marriage. Listen, this is the devil, because the most sacred place in the world. That's why in the Old Testament, the priests or the kings and the temples' homes were next to each other, because your home is the part of the temple of God. So we're going to bind the devil, right? How many need the devil to take his hands off your job, your finances, you need debt cancellation? How many need the devil to take his hands off? Put your hands down. How many need the devil to take his hands off of your health, or someone in your family's health, or someone's addicted to something, drugs or alcohol or depression? Or how many need anger broken in your family? The curse of anger. Broken it. Angry people will never move into the blessing of God. And I mean that. You know, it's when we say anger, when we talk about poverty, we talk about this, everybody goes, when we talk about anger, everybody kind of goes like this. Listen, I was an angry person. I was an angry person. God broke that curse on me. I'm still angry, but I'm angry at the devil. Amen. How many need some other curse broken against you? The devil attacking your life somewhere. Raise your hand up. Raise your hand up. Take your neighbor's hands. Now don't close your eyes, because we want the devil to see the whites of our eyes. Look at me. Whatever you buy. Pastor Larry's not saying this, or some faith teacher. Jesus Christ is saying this. Whatever. Oh, but Pastor, I'm a brand new Christian. You probably got more authority than those who have been in the way for 20 years. Whatever. Say whatever.
Whatever.
Say it again.
Whatever.
Whatever. Whatever you bind. Now, picture Jesus on the cross. He's already shed his blood 7 different places. And he is about to, and that's why the term Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani is interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Those same words, Aramaic words, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, do say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because the vowels are added later. But those same words in Western Aramaic Hebrew say, my God, this is why you have strengthened me. Jesus didn't hang on the cross and go, it is finished. He said, it, right in the face of Satan, my God, this is why you have strengthened me. It is finished. Lift your neighbor's hands up. Say this out loud. Satan, I bind you in the name that is above every name, and by the blood of Jesus, I command you, get out of my house, get out of my body, get out of my family, get out of my future, get out of my finances. I rebuke you. I cast you out in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah to the world. It is finished. Give the Lord a clap offering. Come on, give him a shout. Come on, give him a shout. Praises. It's finished. I know we say this lightly, and I'm 1 minute over, so I gotta go. I know we say this lightly. We'll have this in the second service again. But we need to wake up. Listen, I know there's a real devil out there, but he's defeated. He is defeated. God went to the gates of hell, just like Jesus went to the gates of hell, just like God said in Genesis, stomped on the serpent's forehead, bruised his heel, took the keys of life and death and poverty and failure and sickness and disease and victory and overcoming and freedom. And he says, I give you the keys. Look out, devil. The army of God is on the march. This year is going to be an amazing year. I love you. Happy New Year. Happy New Year, everybody. Give the Lord a clap offering. Amen.